Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's showtime, folks!
Is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, it always seems to be for someone else. Why all the people always seem to just be on vacation? What they won't get from it, I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can holding all the information. And every single time I need me feel it to be tall.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, welcome in. Overtime is live here. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Folkerson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys going until 8 p.m. Overtime starting here. FanRUN Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Fellas, not long weekend, but to me it felt like a long weekend. Not a whole lot of things going on with the basketball games that happened. They weren't the greatest basketball games of all time. Also, some got canceled, so it wasn't the most exhilarating weekend, but still a weekend nonetheless. FCS football, just another week in the books. If anybody's been keeping up with anything there, I think I've already forgot what team I selected. I took Jackson.
Dion.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you're with Dion. Okay. I have ETSU.
Youngstown.
You got Youngstown? And who did
James
you
have? Madison.
James Madison.
I thought you had Rutgers.
That's very low blow.
That was mean.
My apologies. Starting off contentious?
Sure. I guess you could say
I
that.
I hope your weekend was horrible.
It was.
My FCS team is undefeated, by the way. So, doing pretty good, ETSU. Holding in there. 1-0, baby.
How was your weekend, man?
Mine was all right. It was okay. I watched movies, hung out, didn't do a whole lot. Had a very nice recharging weekend. Felt good. Tried to play golf today, but the course is flooded. So.
Ooh.
Didn't get to do that. That was a bummer. I was hoping I would be able to get 18 in before I came here. Was unable to. I had a tweet today that if I had no money, like if I didn't have to worry about money and I could just play golf, I think I could be a pro in 8 years.
8 years?
I think 8 years. If I could do nothing but play golf, all finances covered, like someone sponsoring me, I think I could get to the PGA Tour in 8 years.
Why exactly eight?
Because someone on Twitter today said 12. So I'm going 8.
Okay.
Did you guys not see who said that?
Golf?
Yeah. 8 years. Give me 8 years fully financed. I'm a pro.
Playing like...
No.
Yeah. I'm not bad as it is, but 8 years playing as much as I can. Go ahead. Give me my tour card.
Would you play in like... Or would you live in a state where you can play almost year round?
Yeah, I'll probably yeah.
Wait, okay, what? So you play. Let's say
golf. Oh wait, no,
there's
outdoor courses. I'm an idiot.
Let's say you play 300 days.
Okay.
In every year.
Sure.
You think it will take you 8 years of that to be able to do it?
Those top ranked guys are pretty good.
I feel like it'd be shorter.
You think how many? Like five.
No, not saying to get on PGA Tour. I'm saying to get like on web.com.
I'm talking the PGA Tour.
If I did like the Forrest Gump style run across America and back.
Right.
Do you think you would be a pro golfer by the time I got back to Knoxville?
I think you'd be dead before anything happened. I don't think Forrest was human. I don't think you're supposed to be able to just walk out the door and go.
Me and Forrest are very similar.
No.
That man was a war hero. What are you trying to say? ping pong world champion.
Okay.
Billionaire.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not there yet. I'm in the early stages
so
of Forrest Gump's life. I just got out of my leg braces. Yes.
Okay.
I'm.
They're new to you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm being coached by Bear Bryant right now.
Okay. I don't. I think you die before anything happens. But if you were able to, I don't know how long. How long did it take him to do that?
Okay. Hold on. In a hypothetical world, you would die before you were able to be a good golfer because you wouldn't be eating.
No, my money's paid for. I can eat.
Okay, pretend everything's fine. I have a force field around me. I have invincibility for the time traveling.
Fine. How long did it take Forrest to do that? A year? I mean, I don't think it was that.
He had a sick beard.
I don't think it was like, okay, but that could be like.
And I'm coming back. So basically times it by two.
Yeah. I mean, how long was that portion of the movie in years?
In years? I don't know. I was going to say 20 minutes.
I think he did it in less than 8 years.
So. 35 years.
I'm going to say.
Not Forrest Gump, but just in general. It would take about 35 years.
For what? To run
across America.
Is that okay, but are you assuming my pace?
What's
God, this
pace?
Is a way to start a show.
What a way.
When was the last time you ran?
Oh, I haven't run in forever. I'm not a runner.
That's why I'm in the he's dead boat. But we
Who
we,
said
we,
I'm running?
We put that okay, but you're not driving.
If you had to do a pacer test right now, how would you feel?
Dead.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
I mean, like I passed the pacer test if that's what you're asking, but you only have to get to like 80.
But
I mean,
in
died.
This moment, I'm dead.
Yeah, it don't matter. Alex, how was your weekend, man?
It was pretty good.
Awesome. Volgy, how was yours?
Alex, I always should just one day be like, yeah, it was really good, and I did that, and it was really fun. Da, da, da.
You know? Yeah, I mean, didn't do much. That's worked right. on Saturday.
Proud of you.
While watching college basketball, yeah.
What'd you work on?
Disappointing.
Working hard or hardly working?
I worked. I was
Ayo.
At work.
Mango.
Yeah, I was hardly nice. Working. That,
that's what we
I,
like.
That's what I do at
that's
work
what you
is hardly
for.
Work.
That's what we all do here.
Yeah.
That's a motto. Yeah. It actually hangs above the door when you come into the studio. Hardly working.
True.
It's halfway falling down because the sign is also hardly working.
We're not fixing that.
It's halfway off.
Yeah.
But I played some NHL 20.
There you go.
Just says
I got to get the newest working. NHL. It's a pretty fun game.
Yeah. Have they come out with the 21?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm playing 20 as well. I thought I had the newest one.
Wow. Holy, how was your weekend, man?
It was good. I have NHL 21.
That's pretty cool, dude.
And I play it.
How was your weekend, man? All right, so I'm better than Tucker and Alex.
Yes, just wanted to put that out there.
Had to flex that on us really quick.
Yeah, my weekend was good. I watched some basketball.
Did you get any sick deals?
Wish I didn't.
I think you need to stop watching them because they
as soon
keep
as I
losing.
Started watching,
watched two games.
We
became
lost
a fan.
Three games in a row.
Yeah.
So... I'm done.
Maybe y'all just aren't good.
Have you thought anymore. That maybe you're the problem here?
He just said that.
No,
that,
but like, no,
what I just
I'm not talking about just with Ohio State. I mean, you've watched a lot of Browns games in your life.
That's a good point.
Have they won more?
When were you born, Folky?
Have they won
what
more?
Year, Folky, what year were you born?
With you watching Browns games, do you have a winning record or do you have a losing record? I think you need to take some for the team this next coming season.
It would be a losing record.
I mean, how much do you care about the Browns?
A lot.
You sound like a broken man. Just maybe take like try it the first 2 weeks next year. Don't watch.
Would you give up the Reds for the Browns?
No.
Reds are higher up in the hierarchy?
Yeah.
Are Reds number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'd give up the Browns for the Reds?
No.
Okay, what about...
You can't put two baddies like that against each other in Folky's mind.
That's not how that works.
You can't do that.
What about...
take them both.
What about baseball and Disney movies? If you had to give up one, which one would you give up?
Disney movies.
Gone?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's baseball,
he'd throw Copper and Todd to the side.
Oh, yeah.
He don't care.
Unless they're playing baseball.
Unless
they're
playing baseball, then it's a crossover.
Wait, so is he allowed to watch... Has Air Bud done a baseball movie?
Oh, God, you know they have.
What would it be?
I don't care about Air Bud.
Air Bat?
I don't know.
Bat Bud?
Isn't
Air Bud seventh name? Inning fetch.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's Air Bud seventh inning fetch.
Couldn't think of a good enough pun.
That's a fantastic, that's a great pun. That's good.
That's good.
Will, how was your weekend?
It wasn't that bad,
doing
man.
Doing all right?
It was okay. Tennessee.
There's a raccoon on that movie poster for Air Bud, seventh inning fetch, by the way. I think he's the pitcher.
As a rocket.
He's
arm.
Got a baseball.
That's a good one, Will. Thanks, Will.
Folky would give up and a dog
No, it was an okay weekend. I mean, Tennessee lost. Yeah, that's really the main thing. Basketball wasn't that bad this weekend, but they're also, I mean, it could have been a lot better. There were a couple of games that got canceled, and then the games that didn't get canceled didn't end in, like, the closest of margins, so that was kind of unenjoyable. I mean, you saw Baylor go down for the first time this season and look human. And when I say look human, I mean look very, very human, mm-hmm. look beatable. But then, like, even in the Illinois-Wisconsin game, that was kind of a blowout the whole entire game, even though the final score was similar or kind of close. Like, just a lot of games that looked like they were going to be fun going into it ended up not being very fun, and the Tennessee game was a lot like that, especially with the news of Cooper going to be sitting out.
Mm-hmm.
High hopes coming in. High hopes always set up for very, very large falls. I think we kind of knew what we were going into or what we were looking for going into the game and just didn't see it. We'll hit a quick break, though. Come back, break down all of the college basketball slate, talk about Tennessee's game this week as well as on Saturday, break down everything like that, just go through the college basketball world if that's cool with y'all. I also have a fun article about conference tournaments as well because it's March. It's March 1st.
I can't wait.
You ready?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Let's get it rolling.
Tennessee played basketball this weekend, and it was not fun at all. Overtime, live, Weichel Hard Seltzer Studios, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulkerson, Alex Comas. Vols traveled to Auburn Arena, Auburn, Alabama, to play the Auburn Tigers, where there was no Cooper. And yet the Vols still find a way to lose by 577-72. Vols fall to 16-7, 9-7 in conference play. Auburn improves to 12-13, 6-10 in conference play. Leading scorer for the Vols was who?
You sure it's Cooper or Copper?
I'm going Jaden Todd. Springer, that's my guess. Jaden Springer.
Alex, do you know who led the team in scoring?
Was it Victor Bailey?
Do you know who led the team in scoring, Folky?
Drew Pember.
So that's a joke, but that's how bad this game went. Keon Johnson dropped 23, and no one really knew.
Hmm.
Like, he was our leading scorer that game. Victor Bailey had 9. Jaden Springer had 20. Keon Johnson was 9-17 from the field, 1-3 from the three-point line, 4-4 from the free throw line. Tennessee, as a whole, was 9-10 from the free throw line. Only two players getting free throws being Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson. Jaden Springer 5-6, rounding it out to 9-10 from the field. Auburn looked a lot like that Arkansas-Alabama stat line we were looking at. And this is what, when we were talking about Auburn-Alabama, we mentioned that stat line, but it's also, it would make sense when you look at an Alabama team and go, okay, well, they're not going to shoot a lot of inside shots, so that would make sense on why they would not have a lot of free throws. Tennessee's identity as a team is normally driving, getting to the rim, and getting some free throws, correct?
Mm-hmm.
9-10, only two guys getting free throws. Auburn, 24 of 37 from the free throw line. 64.9%, 24 points alone from the free throw line. They were also 9 of 26 from the three-point line. Tennessee outshot them. They were only 34% from the three-point line. Tennessee 11 of 28, 39% from the three-point line. And Tennessee also outshot them from the field by 1 point. My bad. 26 to 63, 41%. Auburn 22 of 55, 40%. So it really came down to free throws and rebounds. And rebounds was another big thing. Could not keep them off the offensive glass. Auburn with 41 rebounds to Tennessee's only 34. Auburn with 16 offensive rebounds, 25 defensive. Tennessee with only 11 offensive rebounds and 23. And just blowing through this box score, I mean, turnovers were even pretty even. We cut down on those. 13 is not what you want, but with this Tennessee team, 13 is a little bit lower than you would expect in a high-paced game like this one was. So to end the game with only 13 turnovers and Auburn with 12, you would think that would be a little bit of a recipe for success. But again, it just came down to rebounding and free throw numbers, and this team could not get it done. John Fulkerson, yet again, scores 4 points in the past 5 of 6 games, I believe is what Rick Butler tweeted out after dropping 19 against South Carolina as the only anomaly out of those games.
It's
confusing, for sure.
Well, does Rick Barnes not coach, like, trying to get free throws? Because it seems like the new guys, Keon and Jaden, are the only ones actually going to the rim and getting fouled and getting free throws. It seems like it's been that way all year. It's very weird to me
They are definitely the attackers on this team comparatively to other play styles. So Victor Bailey Jr. is not an attacking guy. I mean, Vescovi has gotten to the free throw line, but he's not an attacking ball handler.
Pons hasn't played very aggressive offensively.
Yes.
He's taken a ton of jump shots. It feels like he's changed his game. Like, he's much more passive, not using his size. I don't know.
I'm trying to find free throw numbers, sorry. We're 74% on the year. We've taken 478, so divide that by, what are we, 16 and 7? So, hold on, I'll do the math real quick if you want to keep talking.
Okay.
But,
hold on. I don't know. I don't know if Rick Barnes is coaching this team to be physical and actually push the point and actually get to the rim, or if Keon and Jaden are actually just doing it and taking control in times that they need to, because no one else is following their lead at all.
It's a fair point.
Well, after the game, Jaden was pretty critical of the team, saying that some guys aren't preparing right, that the team as a whole is just not – they're not getting it done the way they should be. And for your freshman to come out and say that and to act as a leader, that just points to what we've been saying pretty much all year and the fact that they lack – that veteran leadership.
Yeah, we've got guys who have experience, but we don't have any veterans on this team.
And that's the thing, is a lot of people, I don't think, realize that there was as big of a lull as there was in kind of those in-between classes before Vescovi and a couple of guys like that came in last year and from the Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield-type classes with Bone and them. Fulkerson and Pons were those two big pickups. And, again, love their time here. But it's shown, obviously, compared to the talent level of the five stars we've gotten with Josiah Jordan-James, Keon Johnson, and Jaden Springer, that there's just a completely different type of college basketball player we have been recruiting, and now people are kind of seeing that, I guess, in front view. And it's hard to realize when you have two completely different talent discrepancies.
Disparities?
Sure. Both words work
between,
in that instance.
Between what? Like previous teams, the recruits that we were bringing in to now?
Yes, and I think that's – I understand why people – I guess this is going to turn into kind of a Barnes talk, but I understand why people have been – a lot of Barnes bashing happened these past weeks. And rightfully so. Rightfully so because of the way that the coaching in games has gone. But at the same time, I tweeted out and I stand by it. It was obviously like a little bit of a jokey tweet, but it remains true. If you want to fire Rick Barnes, don't talk to me or my son ever again, because I – like. There is an obvious step in what Tennessee has become now.
Yes.
And obviously this has been a disappointing year, and maybe I was the only Tennessee fan, I don't mean to like pat myself on the back or anything, but calling for tempered expectations at the beginning of the season when you kind of, I mean, I looked into it, or not looked into it like I'm some sort of genius, but when you look at a team that you're dealing with certain levels of recruits and then a new certain level of recruit where you're getting these five-star possible one-and-done guys. This is the first year Tennessee has really seen these possible one-and-done guys. We thought we got that with Josiah Jordan-James, but it was obvious that he is not the one-and-done level talent. The two guys we brought in are one-and-done level talents, and yes, that's concerning, but at the same time, you have another guy who's probably a one-and-done talent who hasn't played this year in Corey Walker. You have Kennedy Chandler coming in. Like, there's a new level of Tennessee basketball coming in, and I think a lot of people were very, very looking forward to that happening this year and not realizing the whole spectrum of what Tennessee could be building.
People are forgetting what we were last year and how we were a team that we would even be considered to be on the bubble talk. Like, we were lucky to be on the bubble talk.
We were prepping for the NIT, man.
Yeah, we were not going to the tournament last year.
Unless some miraculous run in the SEC tournament.
And Tennessee does not win SEC tournaments. We know that.
Yeah, so right now they're going through transition, and people think that within that first year, with these highly talented recruits that we're bringing in, that we were going to turn it around, that they were just going to flip a switch. And also, I think another problem is that you brought in two guys who basically their game is the same in which what they excel at. They excel at defense, and they excel at driving to the paint. Mm-hmm. Both of them can't shoot.
And I also think you might have thought you had – I mean, we talked about the quotes of Victor Bailey being a secret weapon, and he's been impressive this season, but not nearly the dead-eye shooter that we were expecting to get.
He got off to a lull, but now I'm not blaming him. Like, I feel like he's filled the role as best he could.
For sure.
But what I will blame Barnes and his staff on is, for one, they refuse to change the offensive identity. They tell them to keep shooting mid-range shots, and it's pointless. Mm-hmm. You either go to the paint or take a few steps back and shoot from 3-point. Like, why are you bothering to settle for mid-range?
And isn't that the issue? Is we haven't found our identity, and if you boil it down to an identity, it's mid-range jump shots, which is the most dead game in any basketball form.
Yep, and also I think another issue is that they've failed at in terms of rounding out the team. we've known that there we've needed a big man for ever since Kyle Alexander left. Yeah. You couldn't seriously expect, like, you know, prior to last season, no one would have expected what Folkie did. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was lightning in a bottle.
But you also
he played way over his head, and the expectations and standards for him changed very quickly.
Yes, we started treating him like a 5-star prospect instead of a prospect that was coming out of Kingsport.
And the lightning fizzled out. Like, I think that's just kind of where we're at right now.
But you also can't blame this team when you made pushes for Saar this year in this offseason. You made pushes for Kerry Blackshear when he went to Florida. You made pushes for Plavzic and got him, and it just ended up being a bust. Like, you made pushes for Matt McClung as well, who's not the center we were talking about. But you made pushes for these guys, ended up not getting them, and the one guy you ended up getting ends up being a bust, and it looks bad on you. But I mean, it seems like they put the effort in there with recruiting and things like that to build something. It just hasn't worked out yet.
You see, with Mack McClung, like, yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. If it was between him and Jaden Springer, like, okay, you missed out on McClung and you brought in Springer, that's great. But you need to look elsewhere. You need to look at bringing in shooters. Mm-hmm. You can't just have one shooter in Victor Bailey who you can rely on. I don't know if they think of Vescovi as one of their shooters as well, because it seems as though at the beginning of the season, he came in as our primary ball handler, like the only guy who Rick Barnes trusted at the point. But now Jaden Springer and Keon have earned more trust there. So I don't know where Vescovi fit. I don't know what Barnes thinks of Vescovi at this point.
He is technically our second leading three-point shooter, not in points, but in percentage.
Yep.
Him and Bailey have tied their three-point shooting percentages. Bailey has improved his immensely from 29, I believe it was, 27-ish, up 10 points to 37.4, which is tied with Vescovi at second place, 37.4 each. And if you're going strictly by percentage, technically, Jaden Springer is our best three-point shooter. He's shooting at a 47.4 clip.
For guys who average, I want to say, like, 4 attempts a game. Mm-hmm. You have,
which is still not that many in this new era of college basketball we're seeing.
Yeah, but with Springer, he's only averaging like 1.5 a game or something.
No, that's fair.
Because
he was
like never taking them earlier in the season. So if you look at that statistic for guys on our team, I think Vescovi's is he around the 4 mark for attempts per game?
I can look real quick.
Okay, but if Vescovi's around that and Bailey. The next guy you have after that is Josiah James.
Wow.
And who would have thought that? Like, we knew last year, specifically against Memphis, I can remember, he was trying to shoot, and it was like, dude, why are you shooting? Like, this isn't your game.
Yeah.
If you're going by purely shot numbers, the reason Vescovi and Victor Bailey have the identical number is because they've taken identical number of shots from the three-point range and hit an identical number, both 43 for 115 from the three-point line each, 43 for 115. The next closest guy in terms of numbers would then be Josiah Jordan James, who's 25 of 78. Next closest guy would be then Pons, who is 14 of 50. Next closest guy is then Keon Johnson, 11 of 41. Next after that would then be Jaden Springer at 18 of 38. Everyone else on that team, the next closest are Drew Pember, who is 0 of 4, Devontae Gaines, and John Fulkerson are tied for 0 of 2. No one else has attempted a 3 all season. Going back to that free throw stat real quick before we hit this break, Tennessee averages, I did the math, 20 free throws a game, so half of what we normally are creating was being created. That also could happen with Folkey and Pons not being nearly as aggressive in the paint, not creating as much, but also some calls not going your way. You cannot blame that game on the refs as much as you want to, because you should beat that team regardless, but still a nice cop-out, a nice scapegoat if you're looking for one at the end of the day. Hit a quick break, though. Come back. Talk about the rest of the college basketball slate. Talk about some conference tournament talk. Some mid-majors look like they're going to be getting in action here shortly, so we can talk about that. Talk some bracketology as well. We'll just talk all college basketball for the rest of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues after this. Conference tournaments getting ready to begin. I mean, are y'all excited about them? This is my...
So much.
As much as I love like March Madness and the big tournament...
Yeah.
I kind of lean a little bit more to the conference tournaments, just because it's a little bit more even.
More
and everyone,
the
mid-majors. Not more than, but okay. I guess I don't enjoy watching it more, but it does get me more excited when you're watching these mid-majors tournaments where the at-large bid is really the only thing anybody's playing for. And
so
you are getting the most out of every single game. And I'm excited. All of these that I'm looking at, majority of them are starting next weekend. A couple of them will get going here this week, actually. Today's the first. The first tournament will tip off on the 6th. That'll be the Ohio Valley. You also have the Big South, Atlantic Sun, and Missouri Valley tipping off on the 7th. The Sun Belt, Southern, and the... No, just the Sun Belt and the Southern tipping off on the 8th. And then... No more good ones. Oh, West Coast, Gonzaga will tip off on the 9th. And then everything else will happen on the 13th or 14th. But it's still going to be interesting. I wanted to talk about this. I have an article of some ESPN dudes just picking some games. It has Lenardi, Borzello, Gasaway, and Medcalf. If anybody cares about those names, I really only care about Lenardi's name. But still going to be interesting to see who they pick. But mainly, I just wanted to talk about this, but also it can go into talking about the games as well, because there were some interesting things that happened this weekend. We'll start in the Big 12 because that was probably the place where the most interesting thing happened. Let me find who they have winning the Big 12. So, according to the specialist, actually, no, let's go according to y'all first. Who do you think is going to win the Big 12 this year, Big 12 tournament? Who do you think has the chops to make it out of that tournament alive? A lot of good teams in there. You got Oklahoma. You got Oklahoma State. Actually, no, Oklahoma State will not be playing, I don't believe. But you have Oklahoma.
Yes,
they will be playing.
NCAA hasn't ruled them tournament ineligible.
So they technically can play?
They're going to end up in the NCAA tournament.
Wow. That's going to be really funny when the only replacement team that gets used this year is replacing Oklahoma State when the NCAA on like March 16th comes in with saying, nah, y'all can't play.
There's no reason for the NCAA to rush into this right now.
That's a good point.
So Oklahoma State's going to probably get lucky, end up in the tournament this year when they promised Cade Cunningham that they probably weren't going to be in the tournament.
Maybe Cade knew. Maybe he knew they had a case for an appeal. Maybe that's why he stayed, man.
Yep. But they'll get burned next year.
You think they have a shot in this tournament? Not in the big dance, but in the
Big 12 dance. I really like West Virginia. I think it's
Lenardi,
West Virginia's tournament.
Lenardi agrees with you. He likes West Virginia as well. I think West Virginia has that scoring power. Like I just,
yeah.
If you can get a team going and they have two guards who can fill it up any given night, not just feeding off of each other, but can pick up the slack for one of them. And then Culver is a top five big man in the nation right now, in my opinion.
I'm probably thinking Baylor.
Baylor's powerful.
Baylor's really good.
They look human for the first time this past weekend against Kansas, who is the other pick.
But you got to lose at
here.
The right time.
That's what we've been saying all year. So maybe
played, I think, Iowa State. Their first game back from COVID, I think it was the midweek game.
Played them close.
Yeah, and it was a close game. So because of that rust that they have, I'm not so sure.
But if you do look human early, you get your one loss out of the way, you've already seen them be able to string 18 games together. We know this team can win consistently. Now it's a little different when you're going one-day break basis. But still, this team is strung together wins. It's not been a challenge for them. But they did look very human in their loss to Kansas. I believe it was 58-71, which I didn't watch the game, so I don't know how great the final score reflects the game, but I mean it's a blowout score. Maybe Baylor is as human as we were all thinking. That brings me to the Big Ten, though, because Michigan, man, they looked good. They looked really good this weekend. Still got some games to play, obviously had to reschedule two against Michigan State, and I think they might have one other one left on their schedule. But they looked good. And they are the favorite right now by three of the four experts, I guess you could call them, to win the big dance. Do you think Michigan deserves to be number one in the nation? I mean, they string together some wins. Baylor goes down. Gonzaga hasn't played anybody since conference play started. Does Michigan deserve that one seed?
The number one overall seed.
Maybe not the number one overall seed, but right now in the rankings.
One seed for sure. I agree with you on that.
One seed for sure, I think, is out of the question. Baylor, Gonzaga, Ohio State might be the only up for grabs, and if they can consistently win at the end, they might be able to seal the deal. But right now, I don't think they're going to be a one seed. Do you think Ohio State will be a one seed by the end of this?
I mean, they've lost three in a row. I think they
doesn't look like it.
Yeah, unless they win the Big Ten, I don't see them.
Who's going to be the other one seed?
Wait, so are we saying
Nova lost this weekend?
So Gonzaga, I think, is a given.
Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan, barring all chaos.
Are you sure about Baylor?
I think Baylor's strung together 18. Even if they lose early in the tournament, that's two losses. Like I think I don't think they're going to lose the rest of the season. I think the only worry is in the tournament. I do think Baylor's a shoo-in. 18 wins, coming off of COVID, people are going to give them a little bit of flack. Also, in the strongest conference comparatively to any other one seed that's playing in.
I think it'll be Gonzaga, Baylor, the Big Ten winner, which I'm I was going to pick Michigan.
Fair enough.
And then if West Virginia wins the Big 12, I think they can
It's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see who gets that last seed. You said, was it CBS has updated bracketology?
Yep. Okay. Jerry Palm has updated his bracket.
I'll find it. I'll do the digging. But it's going to be interesting. With the
I got it right here.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Who do they have as that one seed?
So they have Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, and Illinois.
Oh,
forgot about Illinois.
I do not hate that. Illinois is one of the favorites to win the Big Ten tournament. They looked pretty decent this weekend, especially in the one game without Dosunmu.
Io Dosunmu, yeah.
And him returning. Iowa did lose one of their key role players this past weekend as well to injury, I believe.
Yeah, I don't like Iowa. I don't like Ohio State. I think it'll come down to Illinois, Michigan for the Big Ten championship.
Fair enough. It's going to be interesting.
Should we talk about how Tennessee, Jerry Palm has Tennessee as a 7 seed?
That's where I was going to go next, yeah.
His latest bracket.
Vols 7 seed going up against Wichita State, who would play the winner. The winner of that game would play the winner of Iowa, Eastern Washington.
Not good.
Not where you want to be.
Nope. If we happen to get through that 7-10 matchup, I was a bad matchup for us. Luka Garza would have his way with
Iowa is quite possibly the worst. Iowa is quite possibly the worst matchup for us. They have a dominating big man and dominating 3-point shooting and play at a pace that is insane to keep up with. If they were a slow team with those kind of matchups, wouldn't be that concerned because you wouldn't get scored out of the gym. You can keep with a team if they're scoring 70, 60. Mm-hmm. You get in a game with Iowa, they're scoring 80 points, and you have to score 80 points because Luka's going to go get his. And then you also have Wieskamp and Bohannon, who's also going to be able to shoot the lights out as well. Like Iowa's, even though they are missing a role player and they've been looking a little bit poorer, when you have a number one player on your team and that much senior depth at guard play, they are going to be a hard out in this tournament, regardless of whoever they play.
And I think on Sunday, the game Tennessee has against Florida could be huge because Florida's a 6 seed right now. And if you win that game against Florida, right now, Jerry Palm has you as the best 7 seed. So,
they do have USC at a 7 seed. So that's not it's not bad company. Wisconsin's a 7 seed. Ruggerts is a 7 seed. It's not terrible company to be a 7 seed right now.
Yeah, but if you beat Florida, maybe you play your way into a 6 seed, and you'd kind of rather have a 6 seed. Would you not?
I was thinking about this over the weekend. Like it was genuinely eating at me because when you think about it. Yes, if you have a higher seed, you would think kind of sets you up for an easier path when you're playing lower seeds. And it all depends on region and all of those different things. It depends on who is near you. But would you rather, like, with a 6, 7, 8, like all of those numbers being fairly close together, does it matter the number next to Tennessee? Or you have to just go and beat whoever you play. Like that, I don't know if the number matters to Tennessee anymore. I think we're already in there.
Facing a 2 seed in the round of 32, I think is a really bad option.
I mean, that's a fair point, but
that is if you get through the round of 64.
It's true. I don't know. I said it like 9 times, but I'll say it 10. It'll be interesting. Got some trivia next. Don't go anywhere. We're back. It's time for some trivia. Oh boy, am I excited. We got movie quotes and music questions today. It's going to be a threesome trivia event. Let's see who wins it, who comes out victorious. Falky with the showing of a lifetime last trivia outing, so we're going to let him choose the category. These are not Disney movie quotes. It's 100 movie quotes from 100 years. It's a website I'm using on AFI.com, American Film Institute. Real source, real good source.
Scientific,
the Institute of American Film.
Okay.
Where would you like to go first, Folky?
What were the categories?
Movie quotes or music?
Music.
Music it is. Anybody can answer birthday styles. Just please be respectful of the host. Question number one. Music. Who is the only country artist to have a top 20 hit on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart for 6 straight decades?
Willie Garth Nelson. Brooks.
6 decades, oh dear God.
George Strait.
I had Garth Brooks loaded and ready to go before you.
I'll give you a hint. She is a female. It is Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton is the correct answer. The lovely, lovely lady of Sevierville, Tennessee.
Legend.
Would you like to stay in music or would you like to go to movie?
No, I'd like to go to movie quotes.
Movie
get a,
quotes.
Get a feel for both categories.
That's a smart move.
See
smart
what's
move.
Going on.
Smart
you want to know the battlefield.
Yeah. Smart move. We'll start with...
As long as it's not Disney.
We'll start with a movie from 1978. Okay. An infamous movie, though.
What
Toga!
Movie?
Toga! Toga! What movie is that movie quote from?
National Lampoon's Animal House.
That is correct. Starring who?
Belushi.
Correct. Written by?
Chevy Chase.
Doug Kinney.
Doug Kinney, who cares?
He's the dude who invented National Lampoon.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you like to stay in movie quotes?
Yeah, let's keep it rolling.
Movie quotes. It is. Sounds good. 1942 film. Old one. An old one.
All right, I'll just turn off my mic.
1942 film. Play it, Sam. Play A's. Oh, wait, no. I read that wrong. Play as time goes by. Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by. I can read another quote from that same movie.
Casablanca.
That is correct. It is Casablanca. Would you like to stay in movies?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, a 1991 film. 1991 film.
Mic's back on for Alex.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and
Silence
a nice Chianti.
Lambs.
That is correct. Silence of the Lambs.
Music.
Music.
Yeah, these fellas are getting a little angry.
Sounds good. Music. What rock icon was the founder of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Long-Haired Men?
Ozzy Osbourne.
That is incorrect. What rock icon was the founder of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Long-Haired Men?
Marilyn Manson.
Incorrect. Not known for having long hair, in my opinion.
Van Halen.
Star in The Prestige.
David Bowie.
It is David Bowie. Played Nikola Tesla in The Prestige.
Woo, boys. Let's keep it going to movie quotes.
Movie quotes. Back to movie quotes.
I wish
quotes.
Y'all talk just a little.
Back to movie
quotes. Throw some guesses out. Shotgun method, Folky.
A 1976 film. Quote, Yo, Adrian.
Rocky.
Rocky.
Rocky is correct.
Rocky.
Did Tucker get the point on that?
Yeah,
he did, unfortunately.
I did. For sure.
Unfortunately. 1939 film. Frankly, my dear,
Mike
I don't
off.
Give a damn. 1939 film. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Citizen Kane.
Is incorrect.
That's wrong.
Rosemary's Baby.
That's wrong.
Wizard of Oz.
1939. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Another quote from this movie. After all, after all, tomorrow is another day. 1939 film about the
Annie.
Civil War. It's not Annie.
Tomorrow is a new day. I don't know. Tomorrow. I love you. Tomorrow.
That would be
That's
one. Gone with the Wind.
Oh, wow.
Gone with the Wind.
The movie's trash, apparently. I've never seen
Alex, it. Would you like to stay in movie quotes or go back to music?
I don't know. Tell me what the next what year the next movie quote's from.
1939.
Yep, I'll just sit this one out.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
I can't control that.
Man.
I told you what year it was from, and you said you were going to sit it out.
Yeah, that's why I said Wizard of Oz on the last one. I know it was 39.
1976 film. You talking to me?
The Godfather.
No.
No, wait, where am I? Goodfellas.
No.
No?
Mm-mm. It's not a mob movie. Starring De Niro, however. You talking
Taxi
to
driver.
Me. Taxi Driver
That's
is
it.
Correct. Mm. Look at you. Would you like to stay movie quotes?
Sure, why not?
I knew it was De Niro.
Okay, let's find a movie quote. Okay, 1996 film, Show Me the Money.
Jerry Maguire.
That is correct. That is correct.
Solid pull.
1992 film, You Can't Handle the Truth.
I know that one.
How would you describe a group of
no good,
well-acting people?
I know this one. You don't need to...
There's a group of...
Two good men?
Male individuals.
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men is correct.
There it is.
Few Good Men.
Yeah, that was another Tom Cruise.
Correct.
Yeah, I know. Jack Nicholson.
Would you like to stay in movie quotes?
Yeah, Jessup. Colonel Jessup. Go ahead.
Would you like to stay in movies?
Yeah, movie quotes.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Jaws.
Correct. Would you like to stay in movies?
Let's go music.
Music, back to music. Sounds good.
Music.
Folky's just praying for a Disney one to pop up.
He's praying. There's a Lion King quote thrown in here.
Who was the first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Stevie Nicks.
Incorrect.
Aretha Franklin.
Correct. Where would you like to go?
Movie quotes.
I have so many good music questions. You know what, just making me scroll.
I'm killing it today, and you guys seem not happy about it at all.
Well, they're kind of matching what you normally do.
Congrats, you're
shut down
remembering the movie
show.
Titles of 1930.
1986 film. I feel the need. The need for speed.
Oh, my God.
Days of Thunder.
I hate everyone.
Top Gun.
Top Gun is correct.
It's Top Gun. Stupid Tom Cruise.
I was blanking on the title.
He's the same
title,
person in
bad.
Every movie. It's hard to tell. He's always cocky.
Movie quotes still, Alex?
God.
Yes.
I couldn't tell. It was speed. I was like, race car driver? Probably.
1989 film, Carpe Diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. Those words were uttered by Robin Williams in this 1989 film.
Flubber.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a good one.
Goodwill Hunting. That's dumb.
That's what I was going to say. Is it Dead Poets Society?
It is Dead Poets Society.
I've not seen that one.
See, I've seen Dead Poets Society and not Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting, wrong.
Yeah, I've seen Goodwill Hunting, not Dead Poets Society.
I've seen Flubber, though, for sure.
Never heard of that
Would
one.
You like to stay?
You've never
Flubber? Heard of it?
No.
You got to watch Flubber.
I think
Rocks.
I have it on VHS. Right. I might bring that in one day.
Flubber's a fantastic movie.
Would you like to stay in movie quotes or go back to music?
Let's go music.
Let's
give me,
go back.
Give me a Flubber quote.
Back to me. What rock star's memoir is titled The Heroin Diaries?
Whoa.
Tommy Lee.
Nope. Close, though. You are in the right band.
Nikki Sixx.
It is Nikki Sixx. Would you like to stay?
Who the hell is Nikki Sixx?
Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Guitarist. Or did he play bass? I don't care. He was bass. Give me movie quotes.
Back to movie quotes. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Footloose.
What?
Nope. It's Dirty Dancing.
I hate doing a show with you guys.
Dirty Dancing. Shut up.
I'm king of the world.
Titanic. Come on,
I'll get
guys.
You my pretty and your little dog, too.
Wizard of Oz.
Houston, we have a problem.
Apollo 11.
Nope.
Apollo 13.
Correct. Cinderella story out of nowhere. A former greenskeeper now about to
Billy
become the man.
Happy Gilmore.
About to become the Masters champion. It took a miracle. It's in the hole. Bill Murray. Same
Caddyshack.
Dude. Yes, it is Caddyshack. Same dude who wrote National Lampoon's Animal House.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
All right.
I See Dead People.
Whatever.
No, I'm not saying that. That's a good movie. I See Dead People.
Oh. The.
You have five of them.
Twilight.
Oh,
you
wow.
You have five
wow.
Twilights?
Wow.
Smell.
Ghost.
Smell. Sixth. Taste.
The Sixth Sense.
It is The Sixth Sense. I hate all of you. We'll be right back.
I'm great.
Welcome back in. Hour two of overtime kicking off right now from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Ferguson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. White Claw is crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of fruit flavor. And they're only 100 calories, and they're now available in 8 refreshing flavors, including, but not limited to, fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon. Each one, the wave of pure freshman White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. White Claw Hard Seltzer. The J.J. Watt saga continues. Lands a 2-year contract with the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, definitely out of left field.
Well, that's rumored.
Folky is a tinfoil hat.
Allegedly.
He believes that J.J. Watt was hacked and a Photoshop was made of him in an Arizona Cardinals shirt.
I have the original.
And that he and that he is going to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Hold on to hope, buddy.
I am.
Never let go of hope.
I don't.
Is it really that catastrophic for you if it were to be true?
Sure.
No, man. We talked about this. It's not bad.
We would not need a secondary. We wouldn't have to put anybody back there. With Miles Garrett,
I forgot
and
we
JJ
talked about
Watt,
that.
Yeah,
no one would do anything.
Just field goal block every time.
Yeah,
it's not a bad thought process. No, free agent pass rusher J.J. Watt has agreed with a 2-year contract worth $31 million, including $23 million guaranteed with the Arizona Cardinals. Team announced Monday. J.J. Watt himself announced today as well. Quote, source me. That's my impression of what J.J. Watt sounds
J.J.
like.
You think J.J. Watt sounds like that?
Yeah.
I think he sounds like that. Hey, Peter. I think he sounds like Joe from Family Guy.
No.
That's if I hadn't heard him speak before and was imagining what he might sound like, it would be that voice.
He also tweets, pretty convenient when the owner is also a pilot. See you soon, Arizona Cardinals. Do you know the owner was a pilot?
The owner of the Cardinals is a pilot?
He's apparently a pirate.
A pirate.
Pilot.
That's good.
I got confused with two Tom Hanks movies, Sully and Captain Phillips.
Right.
I easily confused. Pilot and pirate.
He wasn't a pirate.
No, he was a pilot.
You get the joke.
But I believe if...
Fine, Castaway.
I mean, if I had the money, I would have my pilot.
There you go. More on par.
What did you say?
Castaway.
He said he wasn't a pirate. Wow. I said, fine, Castaway.
My dad's favorite movie, Castaway.
That's not one you hear often for favorite movie.
You know why?
Second favorite.
Because my dad works for FedEx, and there's the FedEx box. Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. Supporting the brand.
See, my dad hates Castaway because he creates leather volleyballs, and he thought it was disrespectful to cut a hole in one of his. So he hates that movie.
He does. I don't believe any of that, but that's okay. I love that.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, 31, was released by the Texans, who granted his request on February 12th, ending his 10-year run with the franchise. 4 days later, Watt's former Texans teammate and current Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins posted a picture of himself and Watt photoshopped in a Cardinals uniform on Instagram with the caption, "Let's finish what we started." Question is, what the hell did you start?
It's true. There wasn't a whole lot going on in Houston. You started a fire?
You
were there? Well, you didn't really start the fire. You were just there.
Start the fire.
They stoked it.
They definitely blew on the flames a little bit, and then it exploded, and then went, "Oh no, skip town."
Is that the Office song?
Folky, do you think that the writers of the Office invented the song?
No, but I don't know what the real song is.
Ryan started the fire.
Yeah. It's called "We Didn't Start the Fire." It's by Billy Joel.
Oh, sorry.
You didn't learn that song in history?
Italian restaurant.
No.
It goes over all of human history.
Oh no, they didn't play that.
And then at various times throughout the song, it says "We didn't start the fire."
Talking about how like they didn't create all the hate in the world, but everyone else did. It's actually a really good song. Really good critique on
it's
the world.
It's very catchy.
We had to memorize the lyrics in my U.S. history class.
Wow.
To, like, memorize the times
memorize
of the events.
Preamble.
See, you guys call it, you know, the country, but, you know, back when I went to school, we learned about it. They would just teach us. They wouldn't make us listen to a song.
Ooh.
Was that your whole class?
It's because y'all didn't have MP3 files until
last
year.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
you didn't have the capability.
We had the one computer in town. Everybody could use it. Everybody got an hour a week.
Y'all had the TV on the cart until it got stolen.
Yeah. So what?
Like Magic School Bus, you ever heard of it?
What? We had school buses.
What? Okay.
Two?
Four.
Oh, sick, man. Yeah. Sick, my bad.
Four?
My bad.
Yeah.
Is J.J. Watt going to do anything on this team? Like, what are the legitimate takes from this? I know I'm probably being pessimistic, because if he signed with the Titans, J.J. Watt's changing the world, but now that he doesn't sign with the Titans... J.J. Watt's pretty old. I don't know if he's going to do anything,
he's
man.
Still gonna be fine.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, he won't play all 16 games. He'll play, what, 14? He'll still
be 31.
He'll be a decent piece of that defense.
Okay.
Like, he definitely improves that team the day he steps on.
The defense needed a bit of an upgrade up front.
Especially edge rush.
I mean, he is joining another legendary defensive lineman who we talked about, his birthday was recently. Chandler Jones is on that team as well, and since 2012, nobody has more sacks than the new teammate tandems of Chandler Jones with 97 since 2012, and also J.J. Watt with 95.5 since 2012.
But the Cardinals are apparently letting go of Patrick Peterson this offseason, so they're losing a piece there on the defensive side of the ball.
Wouldn't mind seeing a pickup from the Titans.
I wouldn't mind, every team in the NFL is saying that exact same thing. Going, it'd be nice to have that guy. So he'll have pretty much his choice of wherever he wants to go.
Yeah, but I don't know about with the Cardinals. I mean, with this move, yes, it puts them into getting into the playoffs, like playoff contention race. Which,
but they're not a contender.
No.
But they were already playoff.
Not a Super Bowl contender.
Would you consider them playoff contenders?
I don't think any one player could do that, though.
But they were playoff contenders. Were they not?
But when his
rumor.
I'm talking
about, like, the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, but there's two different levels. I don't think anybody was expecting the Cardinals with Kyler Murray coming out this year to be Super Bowl contenders, but definitely improvement.
When his options were Buffalo, Green Bay, and Cleveland, I just feel like those teams are
Tennessee
farther ahead.
Put the respect on the name.
Well, I don't know how much Tennessee was offering. I feel like Cleveland was offering a lot.
We were talked about.
No state income tax in Tennessee, too. I feel like that's a bargaining, you know.
What's the state income tax situation in Ohio?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Depends on if you're homeless or not.
But apparently Cleveland had more cap space to spend, so they were offering him a sizable salary, and then I don't know what Green Bay and Buffalo would look like. I'm sure Buffalo would be able to offer you a decent amount of money.
I think so.
It just seemed like he had two choices where if he went to be that next step to take a team, kind of. Obviously, I don't think we all agreed. J.J. Watt improves your team for sure, but he's not the next piece to a championship team. I think we all talked about that. Mm-hmm. But the Browns and the Bills were like those two teams that if you go there, you can't really make a wrong decision. Like either team you choose there, people weren't going to be mad at you because those two teams are lovable franchises. Mm-hmm. Now, the Cardinals aren't like this big Death Star giant that people are mad about him joining, but like it seemed like he had an easy time, an easy choice just to make yourself a lovable guy and chooses a team out of left field. Not talked about at all. Cardinals were not thrown into any of those articles we read. Hell, we had three teams that were like in the for sure of where he was going to be going, and then we had three more teams that we were like maybe with the Raiders back to the Texans, and the Browns were in that section, and no one was talking about the Cardinals. No one.
No.
Like Arizona is definitely a shock nonetheless.
How much do you think DeAndre Hopkins really had on this?
I think he had a good impact.
You think that's
former teammate.
That's a top two
definite impact player, and obviously he knows about the ownership. He probably feels just as disrespected and has the same opinions as J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt was able to talk to DeAndre Hopkins, but hey, how is it? And he trusts.
He also sees DeAndre Hopkins getting out of the Texans organization, and if he's had decent success, why not just go to a place that's Texans Rehabilitation Center?
Yeah. I think it came down to team quality, number one. Two, money, and three, DeAndre Hopkins.
Now, what does this do for the Russell Wilson saga? Does this do any the Seattle Seahawks kind of realizing, okay, well, now there's a elite defensive lineman. Teams are putting pieces together in our own division, and we were already pretty close. I mean, even the 49ers who were dealing with injury, everyone was in a very, very close window coming down the stretch until the Rams and the Seahawks pulled away.
Yeah.
Does this open the eyes of the Seahawks organization and go, okay, we might need to build something around Russell and need to listen to Russell? Teams are taking it seriously here in this division. The Cardinals haven't been a real big impact team since that one run they had to the Super Bowl. Or is this a time where now you see the Seahawks kind of not going into rebuild, because I think they're a step above having to go into rebuild, but taking a step back and maybe having a couple years of assessment, maybe a couple years of not rebuilding, but refinding what you need to do to be successful.
I don't see that happening under Pete Carroll.
It's fair.
I think it's...
How long does Pete Carroll have? Like, he had the great run, but what's he done since?
This year, depending on what additions they make, I mean, I'm sure they're going to try to improve the offensive line. They're going to try to improve their defense, but there's only so much they can do.
The seat has to be warm in.
Yeah. I think next year, if you don't make the playoffs, Pete Carroll's gone.
It's going to be interesting, man. I say that a lot, but everything is setting up for so much fun this season.
It is going to be wild. It's going to look not completely different, but it's going to be probably the most change-up in big names that we've seen in a while, especially if Deshaun Watson gets out as well.
And plus, this is a transformational draft. You still have football Jesus with the number one pick. Like, there's still some crazy things that can go down. But speaking of teams on hot seats, coaches on hot seats, I kind of want to just sprint through. Obviously, I'm not going to talk about the teams with new coaches because that obviously would be just boring. You would just be talking about what they're going to do. We talked about the coaching hires, so I'm going to skip through the Eagles and teams like that. But are there any teams where the hot seat might be warming up here shortly for some coaches who have been pretty fine for a while? I mean, we just mentioned talking about Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, I mean, he's been talked about for a long time since that Legion of Boom run as one of the more secure job guys in and out of the off seasons. We talk about, could that be, do we see him maybe being on the hot seat now? Do you see Sean McVay if they have another disappointing run with no offenses? He is this impressive offensive mind. If he doesn't get anything done with Matthew Stafford, do you see him maybe on the way out? Do we see a transformation and a lot of new faces in the coaching world in the coming years as well?
I don't know. I don't know about in the coming years, but just like going into this year, I think the guy with the hottest seat might be Matt Nagy. I feel like the Bears are just waiting for their chance to be able to fire Matt Nagy and just completely, you know, rehaul the organization, because clearly Mitchell Trubisky is not the answer at quarterback.
And you took that shot and you missed. Yeah, you took that shot and you missed. Like, that's what happens when you draft a first-round quarterback and you just made a bad decision.
Yep, and Matt Nagy's offensive genius that he came in there for, it really hasn't shown too much.
But then at the same time, I talked about it a little bit, but they were able to win with a little bit of less weapons than they came into the season going with. I mean, they made the playoffs. It wasn't an impressive season at all. Chicago fans were not having a fun time making the playoffs. But at the same time, when you have Nagy, do you also have to put the hot seat on Pace as well? The GM who drafted Mitchell Trubisky has built this team as well. I mean, both those guys have been in that hot seat for what seems like since the double doink, and it just has not happened yet. Do we see that finally happen this year if they have a disappointing run or even a disappointing draft? Do we see that before the season even starts?
Yeah, no, not before the season starts. I think it'll be a mid-season, after-season thing.
Because you think he's going to be the first one to go, though? First domino?
For me, it's between him, Mike Zimmer in Minnesota.
That was the next name I was going to mention.
And Vic Fangio in Denver.
I think one that's pretty squarely on the hot seat, Doug Peterson.
He's gone.
He is gone. That is right.
I thought you were pulling my leg. I thought you were doing one of those funny bits you do.
No, I'm just so used to him being on the hot seat. I forget there's so much has happened.
Yeah. Okay, just old reliable take.
Yeah. Doug Peterson, fire him whenever
you know who I think sucks? You know who I think's a diva? Terrell Owens.
Butch Jones.
Oh. Yeah, timeless takes.
With the Bears, if they didn't finish 8-8 and make the playoffs, make the playoffs in general, I think they would have blown up ship and completely rehauled. But I think making the playoffs and finishing with a 500 record was the saving grace. And
I think fans don't want to blow it up, though. I think it's just the organization's able to spin it. You know what I mean? I listen to some Chicago podcasts. I have some friends from Chicago. They're not the happiest in the world, especially when the Blackhawks are bad, too.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I would also...
There's nothing positive to look forward to on that team.
No, there's not. Like David Montgomery made a little bit of an impact, and it kind of surprised everyone, but like not enough to be thinking about a Hall of Fame future or anything. Like, he wasn't that type of pop-off. It wasn't like that, but it was still an impressive season.
It was impressive what he did behind that offensive line.
Yes,
and they also didn't have a good offensive
line. With Tariq Cohen going down and them missing some weapons, it was impressive for them to be able to do that and find a diamond in the rough. But for every diamond in the rough they've found, they've also had some horrible first-round picks.
Yep. And the biggest positive that I can think of for the Bears would be Russell Wilson. Just the idea of him potentially getting traded there and wanting to be there. I think that's the only thing they could really look forward to, because apart from that, like, you don't really have much.
Is Russell Wilson leaving this offseason, do we think?
No, I don't think they have a chance. But it's just nice that the Bears are even being brought up.
Well, no, I don't even mean just to the Bears.
That a quarterback would want to go there.
Yeah, that's the most positive thing they've had. Like, what have they done? What do they have to be happy about? Like, they don't, like, their best quarterback is pretty abysmal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A name I'd throw out there, you can hate me if you want, but we always talk about the quarterback being on the hot seat, maybe being too old. And maybe, just maybe, you might see an overhaul in New Orleans. I mean, Sean Payton has been winning, but, I mean, with that talent, Pro Bowlers, Hall of Fame quarterback, future Hall of Fame wide receiver probably. Nothing really to show for it. Not even an NFC championship. Nothing to show for it. Do we see if Drew Brees finally is done after this year, Sean Payton goes with him with a complete overhaul? If you go ahead and get rid of the face of the franchise, you can do both of those with two birds, one stone kind of deal. I think he might be on the hot seat. Like, that's basically my whole entire take. Sean Payton is that one sleeper coach, in my opinion, who could be seen on the hot seat this season.
I think Sean Payton ends up staying around a little while after Breeze.
I don't think he,
think they go out at the exact same moment.
He'll be like Belichick and try to prove how good of a coach he is without the quarterback.
Yeah. That's fair. I just don't know if he is that level of coach.
He's not bad.
No. Don't get me wrong. I think Sean Payton's one of the better offensive minds in the game right now and in the history of the game. But it's still a new game. Things are happening. Taysom Hill experiment has not worked out as he had hoped. And again, just really nothing to show for all of this talent that you have built. And the older Drew Brees gets, the less likely it's going to happen,
Taysom Hill experiment, I mean, we only got it for how many games? Like 4 or 5?
But it's been going on for like 2 or 3 years.
What do you mean 2 or 3? He hasn't got an opportunity because Drew Brees has been starting. So, like, the experience not there. That's what I think he'll stick around for, is he wants to see his experiment ultimately work out. He wants to maybe he goes with Jameis. I mean, I don't know. But right now it's kind of looking like Drew Brees is going to come back, because I saw a video today of him going through an intense workout and his trainer saying there's something burning inside for him.
Yeah. I think Drew Brees is coming back too.
That's why I think that if he does come back, I think he'll only come back for next year, like no matter what happens, even though we thought it was going to happen this previous year. And then, you know, if ultimately they don't make it, I think Sean Payton gets 1 year to try out his quarterback with Taysom Hill. And if it works, he stays around. If it doesn't, then Sean Payton moves on.
Fair enough. Talking about new coaches real quick before we move on from the NFL, who do you think is going to have the hardest time as a newcomer, and who is going to have the easiest time as a newcomer? Obviously, you have Urban Meyer. You got Sirianni with the Eagles. Saleh at the Jets.
Saleh,
sure. However you pronounce that. Whoever's took the Lions' job. Whoever took... you got Arthur Smith with the Falcons. I think he's going to have a pretty good time.
Dan the Man Campbell took the Lions' job.
That's who it is. Yes, it is Maneater Dan Campbell. How can I forget? That was the greatest introductory press conference of all time. We're just going to keep eating you. We're just going to keep biting.
Take a bite out of your knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, he's insane. I think he's going to have a
nice,
rough time.
Nice fava beans and Chianti.
I don't think old Dan's going to have a good year.
You think he's going to have the hardest time getting started?
Well, he's in Detroit. And he's without Matt Stafford.
How do we feel, buddy? You got Jared Goff coming in.
I'm just saying. I'm saying the team has already downgraded from what they were.
Really?
I don't think he has fun this season. That's just my.
Dan Campbell didn't come to have fun. He came to bite your kneecap off and win some football games.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a great coach.
No, I don't think he's going to see very much success.
What about old Urban Meyer? How do we think Urban Meyer's time in Jacksonville is going to go? Going to get Trevor Lawrence.
So that'll ease his problems a lot, I think.
Or at least give him an excuse to suck.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get a few years, man. I mean, the Jaguars aren't amazing.
Couple of key pieces. You had an undrafted free agent who was third in rushing all season long. You have
James Robinson.
Chark, who's been pretty solid. A defense that obviously has had some turnover and turmoil, but I mean,
they have Chenault too at wide receiver.
Still a couple of decent players. You got Miles Jack and a couple other linebackers who haven't played bad. You have a couple of pieces. I think they have the most to work with. Actually, I take that back. I think the most to work with is definitely Arthur Smith and the Falcons. I think he's going to have.
What about the Chargers?
Keenan Allen, I mean, consistently is always at the top of receivers list. I just don't know how much I trust the defense.
They have good front seven.
That is true, and they've been in a ton of low-scoring games where they put the pressure on the offense, but they've also given up game-winning touchdowns time in and time out. So, I mean, yes, you've kept games low-scoring where you're losing 28-27, but it's not like you're keeping this team at 27 from the first quarter on. You're giving up a touchdown with 2 minutes left and putting your offense in a bad position to go lose that football game. Yes, it looks like you're keeping a low-scoring football game, but you're still not setting up your offense for success. That's just my opinion about the Chargers. I do think that with Herbert and that offense and who's Eckler. Eckler was injured 90% of the season. I had him on my fantasy team. Like, you have him returning, Herbert with breaking all the rookie records, and Keenan Allen is a little old, but he's consistently at the top of the leaderboards no matter who's throwing him the ball. Like that's a solid offense to work with. But I do think Arthur Smith is going to have the best time. I'm a little biased because I do think he's that genius of an offensive coordinator since his time with the Titans. Now, the big question is, can he do it without Derrick Henry? I think he can. I think he's a schemey guy. But you also have some real talent on that Falcons offense. I mean, obviously Matt Ryan, we've had our disagreements about, but Matt Ryan still has some juice left in that cannon and can still throw a ball better than most average quarterbacks. I'll be willing to admit that regardless of any arguments been made. Like, he can still throw the ball better than, I mean, he's a top 15 quarterback, regardless of how you see it.
Yes.
Todd Gurley, if you can get him to come back, or if you want him to get, if you want to get rid of him and try to find someone in the draft, all you really need is that question at the running back, because when you look at wide receivers, Ridley, Julio Jones, sure, I'm forgetting some others, but I mean, you got weapons at the offensive end, and that's where Arthur Smith is known for doing great things. If you can find a defensive mind or find some type of scheme that works, or hell, maybe just beat teams. Just 41-40. Let's go out there.
Yeah.
You want to score with me? Let's score. Yeah, let's score. Let's see how you do it.
With his mind, with just offensive, just the way he runs his offense being unique and relying on the play action, which isn't as, you know, used as heavily anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can do that in Atlanta, because he doesn't have that magnet of Derrick Henry.
You got to be able to set up the run somehow.
But the way he finds ways to break defenses over the top and have those deep 50-yard bombs, I think he could do that with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones.
And I think
Hayden Hurst at tight end.
I don't mean to hate on my own team, but I'm willing to say it. I think Julio Jones is probably a better wide receiver than A.J. Brown or Corey Davis right now in the game in terms of being able to create for someone. To be able to draw some fun things up, I would rather draw things up for Julio Jones.
Yeah, it would be a lot easier to get the ball to him.
AJ's not at that level yet.
Yeah, no, I'm that's why I said right now, because I do think that AJ and DK and guys like that who we're seeing these guys take over are going to be at that level. Come 5 years, we're going to be talking about them like we're talking about Julio right now. Mm-hmm. But I still do think, like, Julio is a top five wide receiver in the game right now, and it seemed a challenge for some reason for whoever has been in Atlanta calling plays to get him the ball. Do we see Arthur Smith finally figure out Matt Ryan? Is he finally able to figure out a way to get Matt Ryan to be able to get the ball to Julio Jones?
I think there's a chance.
Because you obviously have other weapons, but if you're not getting Julio Jones involved, you're not going to win football games. That is just, that's how it's going to play out.
Yeah, one thing, I mean, at Tennessee, like, he was spreading the ball. When the Titans do throw, they don't have, I mean, they've got A.J. Brown, but they spread the ball around a decent amount. I think he will find a way to get the ball in Julio Jones' hands as much as possible, really.
You still have Laquan Treadwell, who is not a terrible guy to
And I think
be
Calvin
using.
Ridley will benefit a ton by, like, just in a new system that doesn't lean so heavily on one guy and can actually spread the ball around. Calvin Ridley could have a really good season next year.
Brandon Powell is not terrible either. I think you got some usable pieces there at the wide receiver position nonetheless. Definitely, as I always say, going to be interesting to see all of the new faces in the NFL with some headsets on. We'll find something else to talk about next. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues after this.
Money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
Baseball season is apparently back. Y'all excited for baseball season, I'm assuming? I mean,
woo!
Sounds like it.
Can't wait to go not score a run in the postseason again.
Hopefully you make it.
The postseason. Yeah, we won't go to the postseason this year.
Well, then we're not scoring a run in the postseason, are we?
That's valid.
So.
Sucks.
0-2, feeling good.
Sorry about that, man.
Yeah. Trevor Bauer pitched for the Dodgers today.
Pretty good team.
A lot of good stuff is a lot of good stuff happening.
We still don't really have a shortstop.
Yeah.
The Reds?
Yeah.
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 And our
who was your previous shortstop?
No, you have a shortstop. You had a shortstop in the postseason. It was two games and you were out.
Oh, wait, no.
Freddy Galvis.
Oh, forgot about him.
He is gone.
Gone.
Where'd he go?
Not Cincinnati.
Hmm.
Yeah, once they leave, we kind of just forget about them, pretend they don't exist.
Yeah.
Unless they're really good, then we get sad.
Then we get reminded every time we look at the TV.
Yeah, he plays for the Phillies now.
Oh, he went back to Philadelphia.
I think. Actually, nope, he plays for the Orioles now. My bad.
Even worse.
They still have his profile as the Phillies. So.
If you're not excited about baseball, maybe you're excited about basketball, and you can bet on all different types of basketball with all the different types of betting markets, unique fun bet types, and also the same game parlay and exclusive always on promotions on FanDuel Sportsbook. That's right. You got big events for you, so you don't want to miss out on any action on every single game day. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet up to $1,000 risk-free. I heard that right. Place any bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win your first bet. Just place any bet you want on NBA, college basketball, tennis, golf, you name it. And if you win, you keep the cash. But if you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up using promo code OVERTIME so they know we sent you. It's FanDuel Sportsbook, and that's promo code OVERTIME, all caps, one word. You must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Again, that is 1-800-889-9789. Tucker, did you write that down?
No.
Speaking of the Reds, they have the worst run differential so far.
It's good.
Their spring training in two games.
I really like to hear that. Thank you for saying that stat out loud.
Yep. Minus 12.
How cool. Mm.
They've given up 18 in two games.
Our best prospect in the whole organization hasn't taken an at-bat in 2 years. Mm. So that's good, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't imagine.
Things are going good.
It's odd.
Hopefully they just get rid of pitchers hitting.
Who do you think has the best odds to win the 2021 MLB World Series?
Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's the Dodgers.
It is the Dodgers.
They're stupid loaded.
It is the Dodgers.
Through two games, in spring training, they've scored 12 runs and they've given up one.
They're pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just it's a super team.
Yeah, they're 4-1 right now, plus 400 to win the next team. Who do you think the next team?
Yankees.
It is the Yankees, 600.
Congrats.
Next team?
How cool.
Atlanta.
No, it is not Atlanta.
San Diego,
plus 900. Mm. Atlanta is the next team after that, plus 1,000. Who's even with Atlanta?
Tampa Bay.
Incorrect.
Blake Snell's not there anymore, is he?
Nope, he's with San Diego.
That's what I thought.
Who's even with him? MVP season.
Who?
Jose Abreu.
Oh, the White Sox?
It is the White Sox. Look at the baseball knowledge on Will Stevens. You got the Mets after that at 1,200. Tampa Bay Rays at 1,400. Oakland Athletics at plus 1,600. Twins at plus 1,600. Astros plus 220. Cardinals at 220.
Just tell us the Reds. Are the Reds even on there?
The Reds are plus 3,000, even with the Brewers.
That's good.
Even with the Brewers.
Don't ask me.
At least we're not even with
30-1. The bottom team, who has the worst chances to win?
Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's correct, man. Folgy just nailing it. 150-1. Orioles are actually a little higher than I was expecting.
A little better.
Yeah.
The bottom teams are the Pirates, the Rangers, the Royals, the Diamondbacks, the Mariners, and the Giants in reverse order. So, Pirates being the worst.
Yep.
Who's winning the World Series this year, boys?
The Dodgers.
Not the Dodgers.
Folgy, write these down in your notebook, please.
Sure.
Do a little
Dodgers
predictions.
Going back to back.
Dodgers doing back to back.
Just doing champion or what the matchup's going to be.
You can go matchup. Say who you think's going to win. All that fun stuff. Maybe how many games? How many runs?
You want to start it off?
Dodgers.
Who are they going to play?
Y'all are going to have to help me when it gets to me because I'm going to pick two teams from the same conference on accident. So I apologize in advance if I pick two American teams.
It's the same league.
It's not conference?
Nope.
My apologies.
I'm going to go...
Disgraceful.
Well, they score runs.
American League and National League. So it's supposed to be one from each.
So it's conferences
Padres.
Still.
They just call them leagues.
Yeah. That would be two
just how I
teams
got yelled at
from the National
points
League.
Instead of runs.
Okay, yeah. Then how about Dodgers-Yankees?
There you go.
Yankees?
So you just picked the two favorites for
They're
the World
Series.
They're
not making it.
Makes sense.
Who's winning?
Dodgers.
Wow.
In five.
Real creative.
You want to go to me?
Okay, let me see. It'll be the Orioles and the White Sox.
I hate you.
I'm going to get a little freaky with it. I think it's going to be a battle Chicago. Can that happen?
It could.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a battle Chicago. I think it's going to be Cubs, White Sox. And I think Chicago, White Sox are going to win.
Folky, you want to go?
Right in 1 second.
Oh, okay.
You said who wins that one, Will?
Chicago.
Yeah, which one?
White Sox.
Cool. And how much?
$200.
Okay. I'll just put sweep.
Okay.
Do you want me to go next?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can go.
All right. I'll go Dodgers.
Bro, if it's a battle of Chicago, I'm going to look so smart.
I don't want to pick the Yankees because, you know, I don't want to pick my team. So,
wow, how humble and selfless of you.
I'm going to go Blue Jays.
I actually didn't hate that. Are they still going to be playing in Tampa this year? Or are they finally going to be able to play in Toronto?
They didn't play in Tampa. They played
Buffalo,
in Buffalo.
Buffalo, my apologies. But still, same thing.
No, but they're going to be playing in Florida.
So, that Tampa?
No, they're going to be playing in Dunedin.
How close to Tampa is that?
I have no idea.
I'd say probably 20 minutes.
It's 20 minutes. That's close.
It's D-U-N-E-D-I-N.
Dunedin. Florida. Dunedin, Florida.
Yes.
Is that where their spring practice stuff is?
Spring training, yes.
So are you just going to correct every single time I get one word wrong when I talk about baseball?
I mean, if you just want me to keep going so you don't have to interject with wrong answers.
Well, Will, I can't call you stupid.
You can't?
It is 20 minutes?
35. Yeah, it's 35 minutes away.
So do y'all want to, like, admit that I'm smarter than all of you on this radio show?
No.
I'll never do that.
I will never, ever.
What was your pick out?
The Blue Jays versus the Dodgers.
What was the outcome?
Wow, you chose the favorite.
Dodgers.
Wow. Really, really unique.
You choose a favorite?
What?
You chose the favorite.
Wow.
In a
How
sweeper.
Dare you choose
well, yeah,
the favorite?
Well, yeah, I mean, we all agreed the Dodgers are the
Lazy
best team.
Lazy take.
I mean,
you chose the two favorites.
Yeah, and the two teams that will probably end up in the World Series.
I can tell you right now, the Yankees will not end up.
The Yankees are pretty good. They're going to end up in the World Series.
No, they won't.
I'm not stupid for taking the favorites when they're going to end up in the
World Series. Even me, the Yankees fan, doesn't believe they're going to end up in the World Series.
Well, you're wrong, so.
I'll bet it. I'll bet it now.
Okay, bet it.
Mustache bet?
No.
We'll be right back.
No chance.
It's time for the birthday game. Let's get right into it. I'm hosting. It's going to be all three of you going at it. Are y'all ready for the birthday game?
Yes.
Sure. Always am.
Sounds
Gotta
good.
Bounce back.
Sounds good. Born February 28th. This is yesterday. I'm starting with yesterday's birthdays, and then we'll move in to today's. February 28th, 1977. Excuse me. Macon, Georgia. 44 years old. Country singer. Country singer who has landed on the country charts with such songs as Why, Big Green Tractor, and he has had multiple hit number one songs such as She's Country, and he was the male vocalist of the year at the 2015 AMC Awards. It is Jason Aldean.
Woo!
Congrats, man. You listen to your country music.
I do not like Jason Aldean.
I know every word to Dirt Road Anthem. That was my favorite song when I was 9 years old.
Dirt Road Anthem?
Yeah. Let me take you on back to the little dirt road.
Never heard that song.
It's a good song.
Oh, wow.
It's country rap.
Okay,
it's
believe you.
Bars.
Country rap?
That's not.
It's crap. C-rap.
Okay, yeah.
I'll show it to you after the show. It's a banger.
I hope
it's
you
It's a banger. I'll rap every single word
I can agree with the crap, but for a whole nother reason.
Yep.
That was the punchline.
That was good.
February 28th, 1999, basketball player. Sylvania. Not going to try to pronounce the city name. 22 years old. Shooting guard who...
Luka Doncic.
It is Luka Doncic. Basketball player, February 28th, 1994, College Station, Texas. 27 years old. Shooting guard who made his NBA debut as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers
Alex
in 2017.
Caruso.
It is Caruso.
You saw that one earlier today?
No. College Station made me think of Texas A&M, and then he said Lakers.
Oh, okay.
Would y'all know your, like, five-star... famous basketball recruits?
No.
It depends if they made it on the next level.
They have not. He's like currently 17. Jazaire Jackson. Never mind.
No
he's a very famous. He's the 7-footer who is built like an offensive lineman, but is the guy who's gone viral. His name is Jaw, but it's Jahzaire Jackson. He's going to be pretty good wherever he ends up going. He's only 17. I'll finish with basketball player here. Actually, no, there's a couple more after this because there's some good basketball players from yesterday. I promise there's none for today, so I'm doing all of them from yesterday that I can because there are none for today.
You got Doncic, man.
February 28th, 1998, Detroit, Michigan, 23 years old. Point guard who rose to fame for his career while playing in the NCAA Division I for the Michigan State Spartans. He was named the Big Ten Player of the Year and to
Bobby
Sporting
Valentine.
Nudes 2019 First Team All-American squad at the end of the year.
Cassius Winston.
Cassius Winston is correct. Volky, I appreciate you trying.
At least I said a Michigan State guy.
I do appreciate Volky trying. He just gave
the
answer.
He's the guy with the headband, right?
Yep, he is the guy with the headband.
Yeah.
February 28th, 1980. Actually, I'm going to take a second. I feel bad for him. I thought they were going to have a real shot last year. Him and Toppin are like the two players I feel bad for with last year's tournament being canceled. Because he didn't come back and he didn't do anything in the NBA.
That is a bummer.
Anyways, last basketball player. February 28th, 1980, Compton, California, 41 years old today. Lengthy small forward who was named to four consecutive NBA all-defensive teams while playing with the Detroit Pistons. He helped lead the Detroit Pistons to an NBA championship.
Tayshaun Prince.
Yes.
Who?
Tayshaun Prince. You know Tayshaun Prince.
No, I don't. I have no idea who that is.
22. He played for the Pistons his whole entire career.
I didn't watch very many Pistons games when I was growing up.
Played for the Grizzlies as well.
Yeah, you should have. They were the team of our generation when we were born.
Didn't have a satellite out there, huh?
No, just didn't really care about the NBA.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've watched a real sport, football.
Okay. February 28th, 1955, Brooklyn, New York, comedian, 66 years old, comedian and voice actor who provided the voice for Iago in Disney's Aladdin, and was the spokesperson for Aflac for many years. Very, very famous comedian, very unique voice.
When were they born?
1955. It would make him 66 years old. We talked about him last week for being the voice of Zazu.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Yes, it is Gilbert Godfrey. Love Gilbert Godfrey. Baseball player. February 28th, 1988. Cuba, 33 years old, MLB relief pitcher who began his career with the Cincinnati Reds. It is all, it's him.
Stole that one from you, Folky.
How'd you get that one that quick?
Cuba, relief pitcher, 33 years old.
There's only one Major League Baseball player from Cuba?
No, but I would know my Cuban baseball players better than anyone, considering I am Cuban.
Tucker, this last one's for you.
Oh,
let's
really?
See if you get it. I'm only doing it because I think you'll get it. And I'm
I was born there. My dad.
February 28th, 1942. England passed away at the unfortunate age of 27, a member of the 27 Club, July 3rd, 1969. The original member of the Rolling Stones, who played guitar, harmonica, and keyboards for the band, unfortunately drowned amid some controversy at the age of 27 in 1969 in Hartfield, England.
Don't know this one. It's all you, Tucker.
Think you can pull it?
It was an original?
He was the original member. BJ. Very basic name.
Brandon Johnson.
It would be one Brian Jones of the original members of the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
It's not that big of a deal.
Rolling Stones?
Yes, he was the original member.
Said Beatles.
No.
Okay.
Completely different groups.
Nice.
Let's move into today. Only a few for today, not a lot of great ones. Pop singer, though, born in London, Canada, March 1st, 1994, 27 years old today. Pop sensation who propelled himself to fame after his 2010 YouTube single that I won't mention became an international hit. His first album, My World, debuted
Bieber.
At number one. It is Justin Bieber.
London, Canada.
Yes, he's from Canada.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yeah, but I didn't know there was a city in Canada named London.
There's Paris, Tennessee.
March 1st, 1987.
And a Paris, Kentucky.
Los Angeles, California, 34 years old. We talked about her last week in a music trivia question. Born first name Sabert, but known as her first name. Her debut single, TikTok, reached number one in nine countries. It is Kesha. T. Kesha?
Yeah.
Football player.
Let's go back to movie quotes.
Football player, March 1st, 1994, Georgia, 27 years old, speedy wide receiver and kick return specialist who began his NFL career with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2016. Was a Pro Bowl selection.
Mecole Hardman.
Was a Pro Bowl selection in his.
Conley.
Tyreek Hill.
It is Tyreek Hill.
Oh.
Oh, Tucker.
the from Georgia threw me off. I thought from the University of.
There's some where the city names aren't on there.
I was thinking.
I would have said college football at Georgia.
Yeah. Overthinking.
When you said from Georgia, I was like, you played at Georgia? Okay, that's Chris Conley. It has to be.
Wrestler. March 1st, 1965, Houston, Texas. I don't know if y'all are going to get this one, but I recognize the name, so we might as well do it because it's very rare that I recognize a wrestler's name.
Okay.
56 years old from Houston, Texas. Also known as, I can't read that because that's basically his name. He won more than 30 championships in the WWE, WCW, and TNA and is credited for creating the Spin-a-Rooney.
After Sting.
African-American wrestler.
Bobby Lashley.
Kind of the same name as a famous African-American history figure, just dropped the capital of the United States off the end of his name. Librarian and
Booker T.
Booker T is correct.
It's Booker T.
Don't know my wrestlers.
Neither do I, but I recognize that name, so I figured I'd do it. I apologize if it didn't go over well.
No, Booker T is a big name.
I figured. I feel like I've heard that name before.
Yes.
March 1st.
Can use some points.
March 1st, 1954, director. One of my favorite directors of all time, Duncan Oklahoma, 67 years old, director, producer, and actor who began first became known as Andy Griffith's son, Opie,
Oklahoma.
On the Andy Griffith Show, but then also played a teenager in Happy Days.
It is Ron Howard.
Let's sprint through, see if there's any more.
Gonna have to normalize the sound on the podcast from that one.
Last one. February 21st, 2000, football player Harvey Louisiana, 21 years old, wide receiver, who won the Fred Biletnikoff Award in 2019 as the top receiver for LSU.
Justin Jefferson.
The other one.
Ja'Marr Chase.
It is Ja'Marr Chase. Look at Folky on the board at the end of the game. Let's go, Folk.
That's my second.
Oh, now I feel mean.
That's right. All I care about is dubs.
Alex said he was going to get back today.
Maybe, did he?
Maybe he knew. Did
Let
he
me
know?
Check the scoreboard. He did not.
What?
Who won?
That's not true.
Actually, Tucker won.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Clap it up. Clap it up.
That's Way to go, Tucker.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Come for the king, you best not miss. We love you guys.
Yeah.